All right, I want to continue with you today where we have been in our particular sharings, not only on Sundays, but also on Wednesday night, Wednesday class, and I'm talking about the times that I share. And it has to do with the reality of being in Christ. And a lot of, well, in fact, everything. I start to say a lot of things are gathered into that. Everything, virtually everything in the Scripture, from Genesis, from the first chapter of Genesis through the last chapter in the book of Revelation. From chapter to chapter, all the way through, we find the testimony, the promise, the prophecy, and the testimony of the reality of our being in Christ. We find the testimony of the union into which we have come by the Lord Jesus. Now, we've read concerning that unity for a long time. In John 14, we've gone there time and time again. We've been looking at 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 5th chapter, and it is the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians, and along about verse 17, where Paul declares, if any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ. In the Greek, that can be said this way, whosoever is in Christ. All they that are in Christ. It's talking about everyone who has come to Christ. Everyone who has come to Christ. Not just all men, but all men who have come to Christ. But in the King James, it's just written that way. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And it's that term right there, he is a new creation, that gathers together the testimony of the Scripture from the creation spoken of in Genesis to the creation spoken of in Revelation. And that one statement in 2 Corinthians 5:17, having to do with our union. Of course, you have to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and then chapter 5, and it wouldn't hurt to start with chapter 1. And all of that referring to Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and it's being repeated by John in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, where Jesus is talking to them about, again, a new creation in Christ. Starts out talking about a dwelling place in his Father, a place that he would prepare. And then he describes that place as being himself, that he will receive, I will receive unto myself, that you may be where I am, that where I am you may be also. And then he goes on in the same John 14 and says, in that day you will know, you will understand, you will have a comprehension that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. And what we see there is not some kind of a structure like we're sitting in this morning, not some kind of a structure. But what we see there is an indescribable union with the Lord Jesus. Because even if you think about husband and wife, then you have some kind of an idea of union, and that has physical concepts to it. And then we see, you know, but you see, this is a union that is not, well, let me just say it is not physical. Though we have it in physical bodies, though we have it in earthen vessels, though we experience it every day that we're in these bodies, but this union is not based upon flesh. It's not based upon that which is flesh. It's based upon that which is spirit. And though this union does dominate, direct, from the word there, dominion, the dominion of the Lord working in us, actually directs and does dominate that life that I live in the flesh. But the life that I now live in the flesh, Paul says, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So what I'm trying to say, honey, is that the life that we live every day, the life that we're sitting here now, looking at each other now, and the life that I now live in the flesh, is lived by an understanding, and in an understanding that the life that I have is Christ Himself living in me. And so the life that I now live in the flesh, I live in an understanding that it is not I, but Christ who liveth in me. Now, that isn't calling myself or you Christ. But then what am I saying? I'm saying that I'm a person who has no life but Christ. I'm saying that I am a person, except Christ is my life, then I am as dead and lifeless as a doornail. And everything about me is dying and disappearing, growing older daily. But if Christ is in me, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day by day. And that's speaking of our soul, and it is speaking of the Spirit of Christ Himself dwelling in you. Honey, salvation is not just our soul being forgiven. Salvation is Christ being the very person, the very spirit, and the very life of our soul. So you see, that's what I mean when I say that's a union. That's a union that can't be described physically. It just can't be. There's no way. No matter how close you and I may be, I can't get in you and you can't get in me, because flesh just won't let that happen, will it? But our union with Christ is not by the flesh, though we experience it in earthen vessels. Yes, we do. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. But that's so that the excellency of the power will be of God and not us. Because the life that we have in us is not of us, it's of God. It's by new birth, born of incorruptible seed by the Word of God, the Logos of God, who liveth and abideth forever. We're brought into a miraculous union, not just a relationship, but a union upon which relationship is based and is built. But what the Spirit of God does is bring us into a union. And that's what Jesus says there in John 14, verse 20. And that day you will know I am in my Father. Now see, that is a mystery of mysteries in itself. But in that same sentence, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And see, this is something that for 3.5 years they could not know. And Jesus was with them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He was with them. And yet, they could not have the relationship that he was speaking of except he go to the cross, except he experience his death, burial, his resurrection, and except he come again, as he said he would, on Pentecost, and by his eternal Spirit, just move right in. Just live in his body, the church. Not living in my, I have this treasure in earthen vessels, but I'm not a reincarnated Jesus Christ, so get away from that. The body that you see and the bodies that I see are not the bodies that we are. We are a spiritual body because of our union with Christ in our soul. Now, I know that many times, because of first one thing and another, we allow bodies to motivate the body. And that's always a dangerous thing, honey, because bodies are just growing older every single day. But the body that we are is as eternal as the one who lives in us is eternal. You remember what happened with Abraham when the greater than Abraham came into the picture of the book of Genesis? Melchizedek, a direct type and reference and prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Melchizedek came to Abraham. Melchizedek was, in his day and age, he was the king of peace and the king of righteousness, and he was a high priest. So he was a priest and a king, all bound into one. It's the only reference to anyone in the whole Bible that points directly to the priestly office of Jesus and his kingdom. So here's what I'm saying. He came to Melchizedek, and now to Israel, Abraham is the greatest man that ever lived. Israel being the natural seed of Abraham through Isaac. You know that little history. And yet, before Israel ever existed in the flesh as a nation, Abraham met the one who was greater than Abraham. And that was Melchizedek. And the Hebrew writer uses, what is it, chapters 5 and 7 and of Hebrews, bringing Christ into the picture, the great high priest, and using Melchizedek as a type and shadow, and he shows that Christ fulfills the order of Melchizedek, which is not a natural order, but a spiritual order. And so he is showing that our high priest is not after the flesh, not after Aaron, not even after Moses, but after one that Abraham met. And then Abraham offered tithes to him, because it is written, and here's why I'm talking about all of this anyway, because it is written that you tithe, you give tithe, the lesser always gives tithe to the greater. And then that's why the whole story of Melchizedek is mentioned. And by Abraham giving him gifts and giving him, he showed this man to be greater than he was. So there's only one real outstanding type of our union with Christ that he talks about in John 14. And that whole thing is set up around the story of Abraham and Melchizedek. And we're remembering now, that's before Isaac came about. Certainly before, through Isaac, Israel came about. And so the Jews come to Jesus, and they're talking about that they are after their father Abraham. And the Lord Jesus says something to them. He says, "Before Abraham was, I am." Before Abraham was, I am. Now, what I'm trying to bring our thinking to for just a few moments here. Before Abraham was, see, that is before he was ever called out of the Ur of the Chaldees, before he was ever brought of God and spoken to of God. Before Abraham even existed, before Abraham was, I am. Our salvation, hon, the salvation to which we have come in Christ. I'm trying to be real careful with what I want to tell you. The salvation to which we have come in the person of Christ. Isn't based upon Adam, the first man, the first created man, all of that. And the creation that you can see out through the windows here and outside here, the creation. Our salvation is based upon none of that. And the best that any of that, including Adam and the work of God there in Genesis, in creating what we can see and hear. But the best that any of that can do is simply point to one that is greater than itself. One that is greater than itself. And that's really all that Abraham could do. And then the Lord Jesus comes along, and that gathers into itself Abraham and Melchizedek, who was greater than Abraham. And it gathers all of that in, and Jesus says, before they were, I am. Before Adam was, I am. Before the world was, I am. And yet all of that is a testimony of Him. Search the Scriptures, He says, they are they that testify of Me. But what I want you to hear is that our salvation, the salvation to which we have come, is found in the person of Christ Himself. Before, and I'm quoting from what He has said, but it was all, the real clarity came with Abraham. Before Abraham was, I am. So I'm telling you again, as we go through this, what He says in the Scripture, before the world was, I am. Before man was, I am. So you'll not find our salvation in any of that. We are to manifest our salvation in all of that. That is, live on earth as we are in Christ. That day you will know, I'm in My Father, you are in Me, I am in you. We are to live on earth in the understanding and by the understanding of that union. Not having a Christianity that tells us, you know, our religion that tells us one day when we die, then we're going to another place, it'll all be better and we'll get our full salvation and everything will be perfect. In Christ, honey, everything's perfect now. Perfect salvation, perfect righteousness, perfect rest, perfect peace. The only question about any of this is the measure of that is truly working in our hearts, in our souls, in our understanding. The only question is, do we understand the salvation that we now have in Christ? That's the only question. You cannot legitimately question our salvation. It is the finished work of God in His Son. And while everything else in the Scripture that has a man connected to it, Adam, Abraham, yes, even Moses, Joshua, yeah, even Joshua, Samuel, most certainly Samuel, and then David, and then Solomon. What I'm saying is everything else breaks down. Even the strong types and shadows. David, the kind of person he was, broke down. Solomon, the great type and shadow that he was, and the temple that he built, all breaks down. Not perfect. Doesn't even exist today. And that's where the Jews were all messed up about their father Abraham. And how can you be, you know, you're not even 50 years old. And so the Lord just took Himself out of that whole realm of sight and sound, and because He was there standing in front of them in a body that was given to Him of God, that He may go to the cross and die with it. And then come forth in the power of His resurrection and bring forth his own body in spirit and in truth, which body you are, the salvation of our soul. So my point is, hon, in Christ we have come, and we've been talking about that, we have come from life, from death unto life. We have come from an existence that death does have to do with it, unto life in which there is no death, none whatsoever. And that life being Christ. It's a tremendous salvation. I get carried away on it every time I sit down and just try to consider the reality of our being in Christ. Because I really don't believe that most Christians, real Christians, are as dominated, I won't use the word dominated, under the dominion of the reality of our being in Christ as much as they are to what they look at as a reality of our being in this body and the reality of our being on this planet. And the reality that, you know, of what you can see out here. Now, I know that all of those things have some direction for us. For instance, if it was pouring down rain right now, that would tell us you need to get an umbrella, or you need to put something on. You're going to get wet out there. So I know that, you know, those things are so, and they make a difference. But I'm talking about dominion. I'm talking about Melchizedek, the answer to Melchizedek. Hun, not the answer to Aaron, not the answer to Moses, not even the answer to Abraham. The answer to Melchizedek is not me and another Melchizedek order where nobody ever dies in the flesh. That has nothing to do with it. In fact, Melchizedek died in the flesh. That wasn't what, but he represented an endless priesthood and an endless kingdom. And Christ is the fulfillment and the substance of an endless priesthood. Why? Well, because he is endless. He is eternal. And he's the substance of an endless kingdom. Why? Because he is the eternal king. Oh my God, hon. What I'm telling you is that this one lives in you right now. Do we get a hold of that? I'm not just jumping on anybody anywhere, but I'm just saying, do I get a hold of that? I mean, is that the thing that, because there are things out here that do direct me in the natural. My question is, do they dominate me? Is that the things by which I make my decisions? Or is the reality of Christ dwelling in me? Is that the firm foundation, the basis upon which I make my decisions that dominate, that a dominion, that rule, that controls? Where does that come from? I mean, you know, you do what you have to do to live on earth, but I'm talking about a dominion. I'm talking about what sets way behind it and becomes the reason that you're doing what you're doing, not just things that we do. They come and go. But what is the factor? And I'm trying to tell us something about what Paul says when he went in Galatians 2:20, because this is what it came down to with this man whose epistles take up most of the New Testament. In Galatians, he looks at everything. He looks at his whole background. He's a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He is a Jew. He is a Jew. He's not a Gentile. The Gentile race has so many races in it, so many colors in it, so much mixture in it. No, at that time, the Jewish race at that time was not like that. And so here is Paul. And he could point to that. He could point to the fact that he was a leader in it, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, one of the greatest taught men of his day, on and on and on. And yet God brings him to this understanding of Galatians 2:20. Because Paul, as great as he was in the law, could never find the righteousness of the law in him. He could never do that. He could never do that. It was like being dead in a hole with a whole bunch of dirt on top of you. Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from the body of this death? Every time I turn around, I meet myself. Every time, he says, I go to the law, which was then the Scripture. Every time I go to the Scripture, I see myself. And I'm wretched. And the Scriptures say one thing, and I end up, everything I do is another thing. That was his problem. That was the law. He couldn't find his life in the law. And yet the law demanded a life that he couldn't find, and demanded a righteousness that he couldn't have. But he was this great man. What was his answer? What was his answer? I'd tell you his question. Oh, wretched man that I am. That's in Romans 7. We know where that is. Listen to what he says. Who shall deliver me? Who shall deliver me? Now, and think about Christianity today, that we know it. Many have just been brainwashed by it. And I'm not talking about genuine Christians and born-again people. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the religion of Christianity. But here's Paul. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Not who shall forgive me for my sins. Not a whole bunch of things, you know, keep me until one day Messiah comes. That wasn't his question. He had tried to be and try to do everything that is written in the Scripture, everything that was written in the law, everything, and he knew it. He knew it. He was raised in it. He was schooled in it. He knew it. And he knew the implications of it. He knew beyond the letter of it, not the spirit of it. You find that in Christ. But he knew there's got to be something more to this. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, I'm making a big deal out of that, hon, and the reason I am is because most of us, when we went to the altar, most of us, when we were born again, I'm starting with me, and that was a long time ago. I went there on my knees and weeping and crying and repenting of sin. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. And I was born again. And the very Spirit of God came into my soul. What's wrong with all of that is I knew nothing about it. No one was preaching that to me. No one told me that. The whole thing that they did, all those people gathered around me at the altar that we had there, all of them laying hands on me. And the greatest thing they told me is that He has forgiven you all of your sins. Now, honey, you will spend eternity in heaven. And things like that. And I'm 6 years old. But I was born again. I was speaking in tongues. But I had no idea of what I'm sitting here talking to you about right now. I had never heard it. And I didn't hear it for a lot of years. No one sat me down and said, "Now, your life is Christ. You are dead. Christ is your life. You are crucified with Him." No, they just got through telling me that He died so I wouldn't have to. And that He shed all of His blood so my sins could be forgiven. I'm not telling you sins are not forgiven. I'm telling you a whole lot more than that. Not only are sins forgiven, but you and I, when He died, we died with Him. And now if we have a life at all, it's got to be Him. Because on the cross, He brought the whole Adamic creation, Jew and Gentile, to death in the body that God had prepared for Him. He said that a body hast thou prepared for me. And the whole Adam creation came to death. God saw that when His Son died and reckoned that when His Son died. And now the only life that there is, and Jesus says that, and it's still in the Gospel of John still, and we're talking about coming from death unto life. Jesus says that. The hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear my voice. And He's not talking about physically dead people, the dead. The dead, dead in sin, dead separated from God. Dead is those who have no life in them. The dead shall hear my voice, and they that hear, with the implication that in that word hear, and come unto me, believe upon me, shall live. And though I was born again at that young age, no one said, not a person, not my pastor, and then the whole time in Bible college, no one, zilch, ever said, "Christ lives in you." Not one time. And yet always telling me about salvation and how great salvation is. And salvation is great, hon, but the greatness of it is the I am that I am Himself. The greatness of our salvation is that our salvation, the salvation of the Lord, lives in me. He lives in you. The seed of God lives in me. He lives in you. The eternal life, the one who can say, before Abraham was, I am. lives in you. The one who says, I am he that liveth, was dead, behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and of Hades. This is the one that lives in you. This is the one in whom, by His own Spirit, in whom we dwell. This is the one who says, because I am in you, you are in union with me. Because I am in you. So when we sit down here, when I'm sitting down here and talking to you about life in Christ, about the reality of our being in Christ, sweetheart, my whole focus is upon that Christ. Not just teaching a fact of religion. We are in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That is a well-stated fact. But it's more than a fact, hon. It's a declaration of union. It's a declaration that we are no longer of an Adamic creation, though we certainly live on planet Earth, which is part of that Adamic creation. But that isn't where my life, the only thing that is there is my death. That isn't where my life is. My life is in Christ. And whenever this honey, this whole planet out here could explode and just go away. And our life would still be in Christ. When this body that I've got finally quits functioning. Christ continues to function in my soul. Christ continues to live right where He's living now. Not in my hand, not in my arm, in my soul. Now that's eternal life, darling. And that is one of the realities of our being in Christ. It doesn't really make any difference, hon, what country you live in, what state you live in. I know we're all familiar with a country, USA, and different states. I know all of that. I'm not stupid. I know that. So it doesn't really matter that I'm here in Arkansas. Now I'm here with purpose, and I'm here because this is where the Lord put me. But wherever it is that I'm found, I'm there in Christ. And that's the thing that matters. See, that's the thing that matters. It's not where on earth I live. It is what dominates me in that place. Is it another place that dominates me? Another situation, a circumstance, whatever, another country. Or is it the reality that my life is in Christ that dominates me? Now, do you understand the difference that I'm making in dominate and then just doing what we have to do from day to day, or, you know, not finding our life in any of that stuff, and yet not saying that that stuff, for the sake of certain things, are, you know, are necessary. But my life would continue whether I was actually doing that or not, because my life is Christ. So we end up with Paul saying, I am crucified with Christ. Now, hon, that's truly what our salvation is. And I know I've gone around the world on this trying, but I go back to my childhood quite a bit because I know I was born again, and I know that I love the Lord, and I know that I was completely ignorant of my salvation because it had been hammered into me in one way. And you hear that enough, then that's what salvation is to you. And you just want to be careful and don't sin and miss heaven. I mean, everything that is eternal and really glorious, you've told, is far, far away, and one day we'll get there. But the truth of it is that we're there now in Christ. Hath quickened us together, raised us together with Christ, seated us together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now see, that doesn't mean that this body has done anything. But it means that my soul, that is eternal, is in such a divine union with the Lord. That's one of the realities of our being in Christ. If we could just get a hold of that, just write it down somewhere, just get a hold of that. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things. And old things, it doesn't mean what, you know, the old things in your life or the old things in my life. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about old things. The things of the law. The things of the old covenant and the things that Israel was built upon. Mount Sinai was part of the old things where the law was given and all of that. But in Christ, you have come to Mount Zion. And Mount Zion has always been the type and the shadow and the testimony of a spiritual mountain. A spiritual mountain. And so we have come to that in Christ, which is not only spiritual, but which is eternal. And so regardless, hon, of like I say, all of us today have ended up here. And but the thing that dominates must become in our understanding our union with Christ. Because, darling, and I appreciate y'all allowing me to be, you know, as frank and all of that as I get. But, hon, we need to understand that everything except Christ Himself, His eternal Spirit, He is the one who has died once. Not only died unto sin once, He died in that body that was given Him of God once. And He ain't going to die again. And the soul that has Him as their life is not going to die either. Believest thou this, Martha? I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever liveth in me and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He's talking about our soul, huh? Believest thou this? But bless your sweetheart, honey, and everyone that is with us today. Everything else will die. Now, what is dominating you? Because for weeks we've been talking about what I'm just going to close with now. We in Christ, John 5, fifth chapter, have come from death unto life. And honey, that is probably the foundational reality of our being in Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Darling, that's not sad news. That is the true good news. Everything else will move in the course of nature, but there's nothing natural about our life in Him. So while putting up with nature, we're dominated by eternity. Dominated by eternal life Himself. You'll never regret that, darling. Never. Living on earth as you are in Christ. Wherever on earth you are. See, those are called places. We're in what the Scripture calls the place prepared of God. The place. The place that thou hast prepared for thyself to dwell in. That's quite a place. And that's the union where we have come. Hallelujah. May it keep us, lead us, guide us, direct us, and yes, dominate us in everything that we do and wherever it is that we do it. Amen. The Lord richly bless you. I'm glad to have you here with us. And each of you that are with us by way of internet, the Lord bless. And it's good to have this as a live session with you this morning. And we just greet all of you, wherever you may be gathered, throughout this country and as far as that goes around the world. We never know where we're going to be, where people are when they find us coming out from this place. But we appreciate it and appreciate all of you who are with us today. If there's anything we can do to help you, let us know. If you feel that you need to communicate with us, please do so. We'd love to hear from you. And I appreciate those of you who stand with us on a regular basis and enable us not to just be here and be here and maintain status quo. No, you actually function and help us reach out beyond ourselves with this gospel. That's basically what we're doing this morning. And we appreciate it. I want you to know that we appreciate it. And may the Lord richly bless you for it. So, till next time, that's it. Amen.